Appreciate mentioning me in your prayers. I will always readily admit to you that I need them. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate Jacob doing a very good job that he did in leading our singing. Very good song service. That makes preaching a little bit easier. Appreciate Ray and the good job he did in reading the scripture reading. And appreciate all of you for being here this morning. We encourage you to open your Bibles up and follow along with us. Make sure that what is being stated is in harmony with the Bible. And if you feel like I missed the mark in some way, you let me know that. I won't count you as an enemy for pointing that out to me. And so don't hesitate to let me know if you feel like I make a mistake or I get something wrong. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'll admit that and make correction of it and never preach it again. You take notes you'd like to take along the way and add this to your study and keep on adding to this and studying the Bible each and every day of your life. I want us to think about a topic this morning that I hadn't beforehand had really planned until yesterday or so. And I had a couple of sermons. I thought about doing one or the other, and then I thought, well, maybe it'd be a good time to point out some things on this particular topic that I want us to think about. As Ray read in our hearing a moment ago, the Bible very simply says in Romans 16:16, as the Apostle Paul, right by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is drawing that letter to a close, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Sometimes folks along the way that we may talk with in the religious world have a skewed notion of what the church is. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of what the Bible talks about or describes in the way that it describes the church. We lose sight of what the church is. And sometimes individuals that we talk with, they think that the church is a meeting place. And we loosely use the word church in our society. I mean, we may be driving down the road and we may look over there and say, well, there's where the Mill Street Church is at. And folks are just pointing out the building. Or that's where this church is at, that or whatever. But the Bible doesn't use the word church in that way. It's not a meeting place. It's always in reference to people. Specific people we're going to talk about this morning in the lesson. It's never talking about a physical building. I think about some places that are so simple in pointing that out. When you think about Acts chapter 5, when you read about the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, upon those two individuals losing their life as a result of their lying, the Bible says that fear fell upon as many as heard these things. Great fear came upon the church. And as upon as many as heard these things, Acts 5 and 10, verse 11. Well, this building can't feel anything. It can't have fear that would fall upon it. We understand that. Or in Acts chapter 8, when there continued to be persecution against God's people, and the Bible says that the church was scattered abroad, except the apostles and elders who stayed in Jerusalem. Well, he's not talking about that the buildings were scattered abroad, but rather the people. And that becomes apparent as you read the Bible and see how the Bible uses the word church. And so I want us to think about the topic of the church for a little while this morning. We'll talk about some specific things. But when individuals talk about the church of Christ, how does the Bible use it? We just had read, and I just repeated for you, Romans 16:16, churches of Christ. But to the denominational world, they look at that phrase and they think when you're talking about being a member of the Church of Christ, that you're talking about being a member of a denomination as they are a member of a denomination. And the Bible doesn't talk about the Lord's church that way, does it? But that's how the religious world looks at it. They just think that the Church of Christ is a denomination among many denominations. And that's just not the case. We've had studied before, and we've talked about the original word that our English word church comes from is a word that means called out, an assembly. And do we know that we're called out from passages like Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 that God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Greek word that the word church comes from is found in 115 verses in the New Testament. He's talking about the church, a group of disciples. Now, three times that original word is rendered as assembly, and all three of those occurrences is found in Acts the 19th chapter. If you'll turn over there with me, and this all this just by way of introduction, a lengthy introduction, I understand, but that's okay. As you turn there, get comfortable. It may not be such a short sermon. The ball game was yesterday, right? Acts chapter 19. And in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. That word assembly comes from the same word that is rendered church in all those other verses. Many that you talk about Acts 2 and then verse 47 and all the ones that from which the word church is found. Verse 39. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Same word. And then in verse 41, and when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And so the word, the Greek word can be used in a general sense, as it is here in assembly, but in a specific sense, talking about the church, those that have obeyed the gospel of Christ. The church of Christ, that phrase is in reference to the body of the saved, never in reference to a denomination. Understand, when you're talking about denominations and you pick up your New Testament, you are predating denominationalism. You are going way before denominations ever came on the scene. When you read about the church in the New Testament, you're not talking about a denomination. You're talking about the Lord's church, the one body of the saved that the Bible talks about, that Jesus promised to build, Matthew 16, 18. But it's in reference to the body of the saved, those belonging to Christ. That's what that phrase indicates. Church, talking about the body of the saved, the called out, disciples, those that have obeyed. Of, that word of means ownership. Who owns it? Christ. The church of Christ, souls belonging to Christ. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now watch him, which he has purchased with his own blood. We belong to him. It's pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 20. For you are not your own, you are bought with a price. What were we bought with? The precious blood of Christ. Church of Christ is a designation for God's people. Talks about the ownership again that Christ has of those that have obeyed. Again, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 is referred to as the church of God. Nothing wrong with that designation, that description of people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes unto the church of God at Corinth. Is it scriptural to refer to God's people as being the church of God? Well, sure it is. Paul's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, he talks about the church of the firstborn. Is it scriptural to refer to you that have obeyed the gospel of Christ as being the church of the firstborn? Sure it is. Christ owns you. You belong to him. And so those are scriptural descriptions, designations of God's people. Sometimes individuals have the idea, well, if you took a denomination and they just took the Bible and they just changed what they were doing, if they just began to do what the Bible teaches, and they had the right teaching, and they had the right worship, then it would be a church of Christ. You know what's wrong with that? They didn't obey the gospel to begin with. Now that's strong. Many times, I understand that. Folks get offended about that. They don't like hearing that. But that's the truth of the matter. It's what I'm going to point out in just a moment. And so never have the idea, well, though you have the wrong name, if you're doing everything right on the inside, then it really is a church of Christ. Well, names matter. And yes, you can have the right name above the door and be wrong on the inside. We understand that too. And so you can be a church of Christ, so-called in name only, and not be doing what the Bible says. You must have a scriptural name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. But everything else must be right too. If not, we're in sin. And so we've got to understand that. Now, point that out briefly by way of a little introduction. I want you also to understand that a congregation of God's people can cease to be recognized by the Lord. That was very well brought out Wednesday. I appreciate Sil and his Bible class. And individuals can fall from a right relationship with God. I can fall from a right relationship with God and that not affect you as a whole, though I fall away. You read about that in Acts 8 with Simon, who did wrong and was told to repent and ask God to forgive him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you read about an unnamed brother who had taken his father's wife, was committing fornication and other things that they were involved in. In 2 Peter 2, 20-22, an individual who did wrong. He's talking about the concept of falling away. It is worse with them than at the beginning. And you read about congregations who did wrong. Again, 1 Corinthians is a book that serves that example. They had many sins that they had been involved in. Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, a good example of that with the seven churches of Christ at Asia. Not all of them were reprimanded, but the majority of them were. The book of Galatians serves as an example of that. Though Paul was writing the churches of Galatia, he numerous times talked to them about the fact that they had fallen away from Him who called you unto the gospel unto another, or called them unto Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Galatians 1 verse 6. O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been crucified, or set forth, crucified among you, Galatians 3, 1. And then tells them to stand fast in Galatians 5, 1. And so that serves as a good example. What happens when a congregation fails to repent? God continue to recognize them as His people, though they know the truth and they fail to turn from it. Revelation 2, 5 would bid us otherwise. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Me and Trace had a conversation. We thought about this word, quickly. I got to thinking about how quick is quickly. I don't know. But I know the other passages that it is used, from Matthew all the way through Revelation, Matthew, Mark, John, and Revelation. It's a word that means shortly, without delay, soon, or by surprise, suddenly. God won't put up with it for a long period of time, though He's long-suffering. We've got to quickly repent. I want us to think about all that I just gave you as introduction. I want us to think about for a little while this morning on the question, what constitutes a church of Christ? Well, the Bible addresses that and gives us information about how congregations were established, how they continued, and what they did. If we want to be a church of Christ, we've got to pattern ourselves after what we read in the Bible. You agree with that? Nothing more and nothing less. Anything more is not what God would be pleased with, and anything less is not what God would be pleased with. I don't have much time, so I want us to think about what constitutes a church of Christ. And there's so much more that could be added to a sermon like this. So much more that points at references you could put on the screen, but these will be sufficient. And you can take this, and this same handout is on the back. If you want what's on the screen, it's in the back. You can pick it up and make your own notes. And almost run out of room. Again, there's more references you can talk about. The first thing that I want you to understand is that what constitutes a church of Christ is that the proclaiming of the truth has to be done. When you go back in the first century, you go back to the days, Bible days, New Testament times, what you had at the very beginning was a proclamation of the truth. Initially, I put proclaiming the gospel But sometimes individuals don't really understand the word gospel as they should. It is a proclaiming of the truth, which is the gospel, the faith, the doctrine, the word of God. If you don't have the proclamation of the truth, you can't have obedience to the truth. And you can't have keeping the truth. If you don't have the proclamation of the truth, you can't have a church that belongs to the Lord. A local congregation. We understand the New Testament that it's used in a universal sense. That is the one church of the New Testament. And then a local band of Christians. The church at Corinth. The church at Mill Street. And wherever else the church may be assembling. You've got to have the proclamation of the truth. You cannot teach error and say that we are a church of Christ. It don't work. Because the only way to be in the church that you read about the Bible is to obey the truth. And then guess what? The Lord does the adding. I'll point that out in just a moment. But in Acts chapter 2, you had Peter who proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And that was done so in accordance with the Lord's instruction. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark 16, and then verse 20, after he had told them verse 14 to 15, rather, to preach the gospel to a preacher, the Bible says, so they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. And then over in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and then verse 8, notice what Jesus said. This is significant as you think about the proclamation of the truth, the spread of the truth, the establishment of the truth, and the church, rather, and so forth. He says, but ye shall receive power, he's talking about the apostles. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Are you aware of the fact that the spreading of the gospel happened precisely in that order? Did you ever think about that? I did a series of lessons, I don't know how many it was now, 10, 15, maybe 20. Lessons on in obedience to the Lord's command, TV and radio program. And this was a text that we looked at. That what they went forth and did was in keeping with the Lord's command. They were in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and proclaimed the gospel, Acts chapter 2. He said, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in Samaria, in Acts chapter 8, when the disciples were scattered abroad because of persecution, where'd they go? To Samaria and Judea, he talks about. The Lord said, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what they did. They proclaimed the gospel in Jerusalem. They went to Samaria, Acts chapter 8. Folks obeyed the gospel, Simon himself included. Judea, that region, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says that the gospel is preached to every creature which is under heaven. Paul says, whereof I am made a minister. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 2, preach the word. Got to preach the word. You cannot have, and you cannot be, a church belonging to Christ, which is Church of Christ, what that phrase means, without the proclamation of the gospel. You see the emphasis why we've got to preach book, chapter, and verse, have book, chapter, verse, Bible teaching and preaching. So it says, well, preacher, now, a moment ago, are you saying that those in the denomination world can't do what's right and become Christians and be a church of Christ? They can if they obey the gospel. They're going to have to go back to the beginning, hear the truth, and obey the truth. Not just say, let's erase what we've been doing and let's just start here and repattern our worship and our work. You got to obey the truth first. Preacher, how could you say that? Because in Acts chapter 2, when individuals heard the gospel, they believed it and obeyed it. In order to be in the one body of the New Testament, you've got to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. I tell you this every Sunday. Believe it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith that Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, guess what the Lord does, Acts 2:47. You can either look it up, write it down, or look on the screen, or listen. And the Lord added. Where did He add them? to the church daily such as should what? Be saved. They had to obey the gospel before the Lord would add them. You agree with that? That's what the body of Christ is, a body of the saved. Ephesians 5:23, He is the Savior of the body. So what constitutes the church of Christ? First, got to have the proclamation of the Word. By the way, time goes quickly, so I hope you'll bear with me. When they went forth and preached, you know what they proclaimed? The gospel. The truth. That was it. When you look at the second half of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas were separated by the Holy Spirit to the work whereunto they were called, the Holy Spirit said, and they went forth on missionary journeys, you know what they went forth preaching? They just preached what they thought, or maybe their opinion, or maybe they even preached one thing this place and something totally different the next place. No, they didn't do that. That's Acts 13, rather, when they were separated. But in Acts chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1, "And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed, which gave testimony," verse 3, "unto the word of His grace." Verse 7, "And there they preached what? The gospel." Verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," and on, "they went forth proclaiming the gospel of Christ." In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, I'll put it on the screen. Paul says that he would send Timothy, who would remind him of his ways, which be in Christ. Now watch this, the consistency of the Bible teaching. You know, if I do meeting work, I can't go to one place and teach something, come back here and teach the opposite. Don't do that. Preach from the book. I preach the same thing to them that I preach to you. Now notice what he said, "which be in Christ," talking about his voice, "as I teach everywhere in every church." 1 Corinthians 4:17. Then in 1 Timothy 1:3, "that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Well, why teach no other doctrine? Because there is but one doctrine, one gospel, one right way of the Lord. Acts 13, Ephesians chapter 4, 3 and following. Most of other passages talk about that. So you've got to have the proclamation of the truth. And folks, denominations do not have the proclamation of the truth. If they did, they'd talk themselves, teach themselves right out of a job. Because they won't be there. You want to continue to do what you know that the Scriptures say not to do, or the opposite of, or contrary to, if you're preaching the truth. Surely we see that point. You want to stay there. But also it involves an obeying the truth. Like in Acts 2 and in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And you know what they did? We'll talk about it in a moment. They continued. They heard it. They obeyed it. They kept it. They continued in it. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, with those at Samaria, we'll go through each of these, and you can take what notes you'd like to take. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized." You hear that? Did you catch that? They heard it. They believed it. They obeyed it. What did the Lord do? Added them to the church. In Acts 8:38, He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized them. When they came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. He heard it, he believed it, and he obeyed it. Began with the hearing of the gospel. Acts 9:18, with Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9, verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." I won't go through all of them for sake of time, but those Cornelius and the Gentiles, Acts 10:48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed him to tarry certain days. Lydia, Acts 16:15, she heard and obeyed. The jailer heard and obeyed, Acts 16:33. The Corinthians heard and obeyed, Acts 18:8. And those of Ephesus heard and obeyed, Acts 19, and then verse 5. You cannot be a body belonging to God, a group of people who belong unto the Lord, if you don't proclaim the truth and obey the truth. So it says, well, we so-and-so believe the truth and we obey. Well, what did you obey? Well, we believe what our preacher said, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It's talking about the truth. Again, I say again, you can't be taught wrong and obey the right way. God, it begins with teaching the truth and then obey. I got at the bottom, Luke 8:11, that Greg brought out in his Bible class. The seed is the Word of God. There's a lot of different kinds of seeds one might plant. You don't sow the seed of the Word and you're not going to get the same thing. And the only way that one can become a Christian is through the seed of the kingdom. Hearing that, believing and obeying. But it involves the keeping of the truth. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words. I thought about hearing folks talk about quilt patterns. A lot of other patterns you could talk about. What constitutes a church of Christ? They are patterned after the form of sound words that are recorded in the Bible. Their organization is right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. That is, that Christ is the head of the church. And the congregation is overseen by a plurality of elders and deacons working under the oversight of those elders. And then the members. And also there's qualifications have to be met. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And then in John 4:24, their worship must be right. God is spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, their lips are, our heart is far from Me. With their lips they do speak, but their heart is far from Me. They're vain, they worship Me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. In Ephesians chapter 3 and then verse 11, the work that the church is engaged in must be right. God's divine mission, Acts 3:10 and 11. And that is limited benevolence and edification and evangelism. Nothing more, nothing less. And in Colossians 3:17, everything that we do, whether we say it or do it, must be done by the authority of Christ. Not the authority of the preacher or some book or some writings of men, but that of Christ. What constitutes a church of Christ? Proclaiming the truth, obeying the truth, keeping the truth. Can folks hear the truth and believe it and then fail to keep it? Well, sure they can. Got examples of that in the Bible. They were told to straighten out, to repent. Or else I'll come to thee and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. A candlestick is a holder of light. The Bible, the Word of God, is the lamp by which man can see, be saved, and to live a life that is pleasing to God. Psalm 119, 104 and 105. We uphold that light, the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar, that's a sustainer, a support, the pillar and the ground of the truth. A lot of folks today may call themselves the church of Christ, but they're not patterned after the New Testament. And a lot of folks say, well, it doesn't matter anyway. If it doesn't matter, let's close our book and just go home. I believe it matters, do you? I think we often see that. You want to be a member of the body of Christ that you read about in the Bible? Well, you got to do what they did in the Bible to become a Christian. Preacher, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's what I had to do. I thought that we were the right church, and then I obeyed what I'd always heard that I had to do. Well, we're not talking about being a member of a church you don't read about in the Bible. We're not talking about being a church of some man or so forth. We're talking about being a member of the Church of Christ that you read about in the Bible. If you want to be a member of that church, now of course not building, I point that out, the body of the saved, then you have to do what they did in New Testament times to be added to the one body of the New Testament. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord adds you to that blood-bought institution, the Church of Christ. Again, many other points could be made. Maybe you have done that, but you're not lived your life right. You've turned your back on the Lord and you want to be restored. God's made provision for that. You repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Folks, there is danger in delay. Why not come forth right now?